Hello and welcome to Press TV's debate. I'm Marcia Hashemi. Thanks so much for being with us. Well, too many American politicians have mixed loyalty when it comes to which nation they serve. One would think that they would represent the American people and be loyal to the United States. However, according to some American politicians who have seen national politics from the inside, the Israeli lobby AIPAC is running the show and has bought the allegiance of many in Washington. Well, before debating this topic, I want to cross over to Washington, D.C. and talk to Press TV's correspondent, Colin Campbell. Colin, tell us about the situation, because we know that a lot of this relates to comments by Congresswoman Ilhan Omar. Tell me about the reaction to what she's pointing out, dual loyalties and allegiance to a foreign country.
Yeah, and so this is a comment a lot of people are pointing to, the recent legislation that passed through the House that condemns anti-Semitism and other forms of bigotry. And they're pointing to comments that were made by Congressperson Ilhan Omar several weeks ago, where she talked about the influence of money in politics, something that many people already know about. It's common knowledge. It's something that the president has already commented on. But because the context was about Jews or about Israel, a lot of people said that the comments were anti-Semitic. And there has been a lot of backlash from people claiming that her comments were anti-Semitic. They were not anti-Jewish, they were not anti-Israeli. They just connected the dots between money and politics. And as we know, money is a huge influencer of politics in the United States, whether it's the AIPAC lobby, whether it's the NRA, the gun lobby, whether it's the restaurant and food industry lobby. There's money in politics. That's how America runs, for good or for worse. And what people did, some Congress people did and some other people did, was they capitalized on these comments to try to get this bigotry, anti-bigotry legislation passed. Some people have been very critical of this legislation because they didn't think it was strong enough. Others felt that it was very diluted. And some felt that it did not target other groups as specific. For example, you have some people who say that there should be an anti-blackness legislation. As we know, anti-blackness is not just something that is unique to the United States, but is a global phenomenon. And it still takes place in the United States, where we have politicians who make racial epithets towards black people in the country. And there have been other types of actions. There doesn't seem the political will to specifically target these injustices, okay, and do something about them legislatively.
All right, thank you for that update, Colin. I'd like to welcome my guests to the program, out of New York, journalist and political commentator Maxine Dover, and out of Madison, Wisconsin, author and lecturer Kevin Barrett. Thank you both for being with us. I want to start this off, Maxine. I want to read a tweet that Ilhan Omar had written. She says, being opposed to Netanyahu and the occupation is not the same as being anti-Semitic. I am grateful to the many Jewish allies who've spoken out and said the same. Your take on what she said.
First of all, I'd like to compliment Colin on his analysis of the current relationship between funding and actions in Congress, and specific actions that are the hope of a group, A, B, C, or D, as he noted, the gun lobby, the tobacco lobby, the restaurant lobby, and the Christian lobby and the Jewish lobby, as American citizens, very specifically noting as American citizens. The concept of dual loyalty is an old fraud and really does not apply to the American Jewish community. The American Jewish community is a loyal American community that shares a specific characteristic, in this case Judaism. We have the Irish American community, we have the German American community, we have hyphenated communities throughout the United States.
Maxine, you're not answering the question at hand, first of all, and we don't really see Ireland that much. We don't see many Congress people actually having to at least split their loyalty between Ireland and the United States. But we do see that with Israel and the United States. The question at hand was your comment on Elhan's actually tweet, which is being opposed to Netanyahu and the occupation is not the same as being anti-Semitic. I wanted your perspective on that comment specifically.
Well, I agree that being opposed to an Israeli policy is not the same as being anti-Semitic.
Okay.
However, it also is not the position of an American congresswoman to take a position on another country's electoral process, as long as it's a democratic process. Whether one agrees with Netanyahu
wait there, Maxine,
or one
a second.
Supports
so,
his
so
opposition,
it is not the job
it's
of
not
an
the American.
So it's not the job of an American congressperson to be able to assess what happens in another country internationally when it actually affects their country?
To assess what happened
to
another country?
To assess,
yes,
because
of
her
course.
Assessment was
it happening in
that
Venezuela.
Being critical,
we
she see. Had to criticize Netanyahu because of racist policies and also because her country, the United States, is actually helping to support that
was.
Financially. So
that
you're saying that a U.S. congressperson
was.
Does not have that right? Yes or no? Do they have the right or not?
I am saying that her criticism was not of her criticism of Netanyahu is one thing. Her criticism of American citizens for expressing their view and their interest is not appropriate, especially as she couched it as the Benjamins. This is not something unique to any one lobbying group.
Well, then one lobby group then shouldn't be overly sensitive if it's not unique. So let's cross over to Kevin Barrett. Now, Kevin, tell me your take on this. What's the latest thing that Elhan is being criticized for? This is what she said in her latest speech. I want to talk about the political influence in this country that says it is okay for people to push for allegiance to a foreign country. I want to ask why it is okay for me to talk about the influence of the NRA, fossil fuel industry, Big Pharma, and not talk about a powerful lobbying group that is influencing policies. Can you tell me what is wrong with this statement being made by an American politician, Kevin Barrett?
Well, the only thing wrong with it is she doesn't go far enough in calling out the power, the money power of the Jewish Zionist lobby. The reason that the whole world has gone bananas about this, or the whole Zionist-controlled world, everybody who's on the Zionist payroll, which is pretty much everybody in Washington, and all of our mainstream media have gone bananas about this, is because she's speaking the truth in a very understated manner. The truth is that the Zionist lobby is the 10,000-pound gorilla in the Washington room, and it has been since, well, the 50s and 60s. And today, the Zionist lobby utterly owns Washington. We heard from former six-term Congresswoman Cynthia McKinney that new Congress people in Congress arrive and are immediately ordered to sign a loyalty pledge to the State of Israel. And because Cynthia McKinney refused to do that, the Zionist lobby used its vast financial resources to create a primary opponent to get Cynthia McKinney kicked out of Congress. And then when Cynthia got back in, they used their money, presumably, to gin up a public relations stunt that got Cynthia kicked out once again. So this is just one example. There are many, many examples of the Zionist lobby getting many of our best people in government kicked out, including Abu Risk of North Dakota, Senator Fulbright, the greatest foreign policy mind of the 20th century in the U.S. Congress, and many, many, many others. So this lobby utterly owns American Mideast policy through the power of money, and the claim that Jewish money is an evil anti-Semitic trope is nonsense. It is the truth that the Jewish community in the United States is outrageously wealthy. About half of American Jews make six-figure incomes. Fewer than one out of five non-Jewish Americans are that wealthy. And roughly half of the richest billionaires in America are Jewish. The vast majority are loyal to the state of Israel. They put their money where their loyalties are, and that's why American media's policy is run by and for the state of Israel.
Well, Maxine, if these individual politicians are actually putting Israeli priorities first, then obviously they can't put the priorities of the United States first. So this seems problematic and perhaps treasonous.
Well, let me respond to
perhaps
you.
Perhaps treasonous at best, but go ahead, your comments.
I think that the gentleman in Wisconsin must be reading from the Protocols of Zion, a long disreputed fraudulent text.
No, I'm reading from statistics
like
compiled by Jewish scholars
of all of the anti-Semitic
about these
canards
matters.
That exist. This is a list of canards, of false statements that mischaracterize the actions of the American Jewish community. Israel is an ally of the United States. It is a strong and important ally. And the fact that the United States supports Israel is in fact a support of the United States' own interests.
Maxine, but isn't there a difference, Maxine?
Dual allegiance,
you said that it's an ally, but isn't it a difference between the priority of one country and the priority of another country, even if they're allies? Don't you think that the priorities actually of the United States must come first from American politicians and the priorities of Israel?
Absolutely, and they do.
Do they?
Absolutely, and they do.
Do they?
The priority of the United States is absolutely. There is no question that there is a mutual cooperation between Israel and the United States, and some of that results in the kind of development that benefits the international community. For example, the government of Italy recently purchased the set of defense equipment that was developed jointly between the United States and Israel. That's an international benefit from this joint interest.
What about that, Kevin? Is there a difference between, as I was talking there, it appears that the politicians are more allied with Israel and takes on Israel's priorities before the United States. Isn't there a difference between what should be important to Americans as opposed to Israeli policy, or how do you see it?
Of course. This is an open secret among scholars and historians. When President Truman, against the unanimous advice of every single one of his advisors in the State Department, in the military, and elsewhere, chose to support the creation of the so-called State of Israel, he did it because, as John Kennedy told Gore Vidal, Truman was given $2 million in cash in a suitcase to help win the 48 election by a Jewish funder of President Truman from the Kosher Nostra. This is a simple historical fact. And from that moment onward, the words of Truman's advisors, who begged him not to do this, have proved prophetic. The United States has been dragged through the mud repeatedly by its so-called alliance with Israel, which is not an alliance, Maxine. The United States is not a formal ally of Israel because Israel refuses to declare what its borders are because it keeps expanding and committing genocide against the people in the areas it keeps stealing. The United States was beloved in the Middle East as late as the 1950s when it stood up to the British and the Israelis who tried to steal the Sinai. But as the Zionist lobby clamped down and got a death grip on American Middle East policy, America has become hated in the region. And we've heard over and over from the oil companies, from the State Department, from everybody who's interested in American interests, that Israel is killing us. We can't have productive relationships with people in the region because
the
region does not accept that the genocidal settler colony squatting in Palestine is legitimate. And so the region hates America, burns American flags. We've had wars that have killed tens of millions of people, all of this for Israel. And since the September 11th, 2001 false flag event, event orchestrated by Israel and its treasonous American allies. The United States has spent $7 trillion, bleeded its treasury down to nothing. Our economy is in ruins. Our moral standing is in ruins. And all of this is because of the Israeli lobby's dominance.
Maxine, go ahead. You wanted to say something?
This is a very, very interesting lap. I say that the commentary is a great piece of humor. I imagine it fantastic humor. The fact is that the State Department was not a friend of the Jewish people for many, many years. The anti-Semitic nature of the State Department is well known. Take, for example, the St. Louis.
Until they took it over, and they now own it.
A ship that Hitler allowed to leave Europe, and they were turned away from Miami. They were turned back to Europe, where the majority, about 80%, were burned in Auschwitz. So the State Department is not well known.
You're talking
for
about the 1940s. Maxine, let's bring it up modern times.
Man,
let's talk about from the 90s to 2000s and currently. Do you think the State Department is still an enemy, as you said, to Israel, or is it its closest ally?
I think the State Department, as it should, has to have American interests first. Where it is convenient to American interests, then Israel's interests will benefit as well. Mm-hmm. Where it is not convenient to America's interests, there will be a lot of question about what policy to take.
Okay, so let me cross over to Kevin. So
Americans,
Kevin, was it in America's interest?
Myself,
was it in America's interest?
Primary.
I mean, it's questionable about the whole entity of Israel, but we're going to look at specifically what happened last year in the American embassy opening allegedly in Jerusalem, and what we have seen almost now 1 year on a practically daily basis, and especially weekly, a number of Palestinians being killed, protesting still that situation. Now, I want to look at how does this serve the interests of the United States, Kevin?
Well, it just ruins the image of the United States all over the world. The rest of the world thinks that America is either crazy or pathetic in the way it's allowed this tiny but extremely wealthy minority to take over its foreign policy. The whole world knows that Jerusalem was stolen in 1967, the parts that hadn't been stolen back during the Palestinian Holocaust of 1948 were taken over by the Zionists. The entire world says they have to be given back. Let's face it, the Western world is largely owned by Jewish Zionist money, but it does have its limits. And there is a rule in international law that you can't increase your nation's territory by invading somebody else's and staying there. So the unanimous position of the world is that Israel has to vacate the territory it stole in 1967. And when Trump puts the U.S. Embassy in Jerusalem and seems to put the U.S. seal of approval on the Zionist theft of the world's biggest holy city, which is holy to almost 5 billion people, a tiny, minuscule, almost vanishing fraction of whom are Jewish, the vast majority of whom are universal monotheists, not tribal monotheists, they're either Muslim or Christian, universal monotheists, that this takeover of Jerusalem by fanatical genocidal tribalists is viewed as a travesty by the entire world. And so Trump has put his seal of approval on that travesty, and it's one of the biggest reasons why Trump is hated and despised all over the world, which he is.
Well, let's look at Donald Trump. Maxine, Donald Trump now has criticized the Democratic Party as being anti-Israel and anti-Semitic. Tell me your take on that side of things.
I think Donald Trump should be very careful about criticizing other Americans as especially other American political entities like the Democratic Party as being anti-Semitic. It is certainly a party that has a history of universal participation far more than the Republican Party did. But both parties are open to all members of American society, all citizens of America. And before Donald Trump makes sweeping statements, he should reconsider his history. And with regard to speaking of Jerusalem, let me just raise one point. King David, from whom Jews, Christians, and Muslims recognize and trace heritage, established his capital in Jerusalem, the city of David.
And your point, Maxine, I think the Native Americans can talk about,
in
more recent history than that, I think the Native Americans can definitely talk about where they were established and where they are today in the United States. So if we're going to use that as a barometer for measuring things, when we can use it across the board. Now, Kevin, we look at, there are at least 26 states in the United States now that have already enacted legislation that targets boycotting Palestinian rights. Basically, they're making illegal for people to decide to support the BDS movement. 26 states have made it illegal for the individuals in the states to actually not buy products. What does that mean? What does that mean, Kevin?
Well, I think the Zionists are overplaying their hand, as they've led this attempt to lynch Ilhan Omar for speaking a very small bit of the truth in an understated way. Likewise, they are showing themselves to be the enemies of free speech and free thought, because they know that if there's a free and fair debate on this question, they will lose. So they're trying to silence the voices who are standing up for the truth, for justice, and for the people of Palestine. But that movement is gaining more and more momentum, and the more the Zionists try to crush it, the bigger it gets. Apparently, the Zionists haven't learned about the Streisand effect, where Barbara Streisand tried to suppress photos of her house from the internet, and suddenly everybody was posting photos of her house. Everybody went to see the satellite photos. So the more you try to crush something, the more attention you draw to it. And as the Zionists make the lynching of Ilhan Omar front page news all over the country and all over the world, they're drawing attention to the fact that they do completely own the American power structure. They've forced virtually every politician in America to get down on their knees and kiss up to the Zionists. And likewise, they've made half of the American states get down on their knees and kiss up to the Zionists. And once again, Maxine, it isn't the protocols
statements
that tell us that half of the billionaires in America are Jewish and that Jews are enormously overrepresented among wealthy people. That is the statisticians, who are mostly Jewish, who are doing this, publishing it in Jewish publications as a matter of ethnic pride.
Okay, I would love to continue this conversation with both of you.
I demand that you withdraw your vile accusation of anti-Semitism
for speaking
the truth.
I thank both of you for being with us. Journalist and political commentator Maxine Dover out of New York, author and lecturer Kevin Barrett out of Madison. And as always, viewers, we appreciate you being with us on another debate by Marzia Hashemi. See you next time.